Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This gospel today teaches us many, many things, especially the idea that this woman who is bent over, the fathers talk about her being bent over almost so that she couldn't raise her head at all. All she ever saw was the ground, basically. And for 18 years, she had suffered with this, and we don't know exactly why. You know, there's a whole mystery of the suffering of people in this world. Why does it happen? What brings it on? The fathers again talk about, well, sometimes it can be directly attributed to our own sinfulness. It's certainly attributed to the fact that we live in a sinful world, that we are fallen, that we are corrupt, and these things are going to happen. If the Lord Himself could die on the cross, then certainly things like this could happen to us as well. So we don't really know. Was it something that she had done? Was it something that, well, we just don't know. It's a real mystery, but 18 years is a long time. But one of the important things about this gospel is, where was she? She was at the synagogue. You know, she probably could have easily talked to her rabbi during the week and said, well, rabbi, I just hurt so much. I can't go to the synagogue this week. I'm in such terrible pain. Many of the excuses that we ourselves use about coming to church so often. But she, in a position far worse than any of us, was there all the time. And after these 18 years, because of her faithfulness in attending the worship of God, she happened to be there at just the right time. Because this was the time that Jesus was teaching there. We don't know if he ever taught at this particular place before, but in this case, he was there. And he spots her. He sees her, and he doesn't wait for anything. She doesn't come to him and ask him for anything, or she's just doing what she did week after week, time after time after time, year after year. And yet on this day, her patience was rewarded because God sees her. And he says to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity, and lays his hands on her. What a wonderful thing. And immediately it says, she arose and was straightened. Now the synagogue worship, of course, was something that was very important at the time because there was the temple in Jerusalem. But the synagogues were, well, we actually get much of our worship from the synagogue worship. The litany, or not the litany, the liturgy of the catechumens, it is the first part of the divine liturgy, comes from that. The Vesper service, the Matin service, all these things were related to the worship of the synagogue, where the Jews would go every day at the beginning of the day, at dawn, and pray, and then again at the evening, at the beginning of the next day. They would all do this, and we inherited much of this type of worship. Now, what most people in the Christian world don't have today is the worship of the temple. And we also have that, because that's where the sacrifices were offered. That's where blood was shed in these sacrificial offerings to God. And of course, today we have the unbloody sacrifice. So we get the best of both worlds. We get the teachings, we get all of the prayers, and we get the unbloody sacrifice in the same way. All of our services, again, are based on those sorts of things. Even, you know, for instance, there were different readings that were prescribed on different days. Although any male could walk up and preach in the synagogue, but different things were prescribed for different times and seasons. We have inherited that as well. The gospel during Matins today, for instance, you all see in that second page of the bulletin every week up there at the top. It says Eothenon 3, 4, 5. That's the little word that nobody has any idea what that's talking about when they look at it every week. But what that's referring to, Eothenon, is the gospel reading, the dawn reading. We have 11 resurrectional gospels that are done in sequence all through the years, with the exception of some great feast of the Lord, where that may change. But most of the time, we read them in sequence. And today, we happen to have the third gospel, which was from St. Mark. So much of this we inherited from this scene, this setup, where the Lord was teaching that day. But what we don't have, or what we shouldn't have, are the reactions of the clergy to what was happening on that day. Because this woman, after she is, of course, made straight after so many years, immediately they get on the Lord again about, well, you know, we have 6 days. We have 6 days during the week, you know, that you could do all of this kind of stuff. You can be healed on any one of those days, but not today. Not today. Not on the Sabbath day. Because the Sabbath was very important to them, but they had perverted it by the time of the Lord. The Sabbath, of course, was the day of rest after God created on the first 6 days. That day was to be holy unto the Lord. There was to be no work done, nothing like that. It was all supposed to be devoted to God. And we even have a sort of a partial remembrance of that even today. For the Sabbath day, the new Sabbath, is, of course, today, Sunday. But we also celebrate Saturday as also a sort of lesser Sunday. It's not like it was in the old times, but yet, for instance, during Lent, when no divine liturgies are celebrated during the week except for Annunciation, Saturday, yet we still have divine liturgies. So it's a little bit lessening of the fasting regulations during that time. So as the Lord came to fulfill the law and not to abolish the law, we still have a bit of that in our own service structure, in our own typikon, our order of services. But the Lord was, well, a little bit baffled, because he said to them, since they had perverted the idea of the Sabbath, well, come on, I mean, if you all have some animals somewhere, you're going to untie them and give them water. You're not going to let them die of thirst on that day, are you? Again, he was being reasonable. He said, come on, what do you think this is all about? This woman who has been for 18 years bent over, what better day for her to be healed than on the Sabbath? Because she was not resting any time. She was always in some sort of turmoil, even on the Sabbath day. And so the Lord, by healing her on this day, gave her rest. And also, because they didn't understand who Jesus Christ was and why it was right for him to heal on the Sabbath, because the Lord had given the instructions for the Sabbath to the people of Israel, he did not give the instructions for himself to rest and not do anything on that Sabbath day. He is God. He was God then. He's God now. He always will be God. And so he had the right at that time to heal on the Sabbath day. These things, you know, they make a lot of sense to us today, or at least they should. Back then, if you're in that particular milieu where the clergy at the time had brought in all kinds of extra rules in order to control the populace and also in order to make themselves look righteous amongst all the other people, if you were caught up in all that, it was a little bit different. If you saw someone come around like our Lord Jesus Christ, who just said, you've got this all wrong. And not only did he tell them they had it wrong, he demonstrated it to them, and he boldly went forward and did all of these things whenever he saw fit, because it was the right thing to do, it was the godly thing to do, and they were missing the whole point. We can miss the whole point too, just as easily, in many of our own practices. We get caught up in so many different things. Oh my goodness. I mean, today in particular, we are just, you know, the things that our lives just swarm around us like bees. There's so many of them. They all drive us crazy. They want to distract us. You know, whether it's things going into the church, whether it's, you know, an archbishop who has gone bad, whether it's a patriarch who's done something you don't like, you know, whether it's a country that's done something you don't like, or a president or a representative, or even in your local town where there's a community of people doing something across the street you don't like, we get all twisted and turned up about all of this stuff. In other words, we take these things that we hear these days and we become bent over. We begin looking at the earth and not up to heaven. We begin concentrating on the things that really don't matter at all. As Orthodox Christians, I've got to tell you, I get so frustrated so many times because I hear it from so many people about things going on in the world. So what? Things have always gone in the world. Things have always happened. We're not being chased out of our homes right now, at least not yet, with people with guns or swords or knives or being thrown into prison or something like that, or asking us to confess Christ, or our heads get lopped off like they were with St. Barbara, the great martyr Barbara, who we commemorate today, who had her head knocked off by her own father. We're not facing these sorts of things. But yet we want to play in the ground. What's that thing about playing in the dirt again that you all hear on the radio a few years ago about Pike's Nursery? That's what we want to do. We want to crawl in the muck. We want to play in the dirt. We want to keep our heads down. We want to complain. We want to worry. We want to just feel that all hope is lost. My goodness. An Orthodox Christian thinking something like that. That one hope that has always been here, always will be here. He is here. He is unchanging. Those that align themselves with Him will also be unchanged. They will be fierce in their determination to follow God in all things. They will know that nothing that happens around them, anywhere in this world, at any time, has any sort of encumbrances upon them at all. My dear brothers and sisters, the world is going to do what the world is going to do. It always has, it always will. You can't do anything about it. Okay? Sure, you can go vote. We all go vote, at least most of us, I hope, do. How much really changes over the years, would you look at it? Not a lot. Not a lot. It goes forward. We keep on doing the same stuff, and nothing ever seems to change. God is definitely unchanging. God is going to be there for all of us if we will, but raise our heads up like this woman today. Look towards Christ. Unite yourselves with Christ. Become immune to everything that happens in the world. You have that opportunity. You have that power. And it's a sacred power. It's a sacred gift that is given to all of us, if we will but pay attention to it and make use of it. It's a great thing right now to hear this particular gospel. That's where the church puts it this time of year for us to listen to. Because what do we have coming up in just a few weeks? We have a star coming up over the place where God will be born. And guess what? If you're bent over looking at the ground, you're not going to be able to see that star. Not at all. So raise your eyes, your hearts, your minds, your strength, your voices to God during this season especially. And don't worry about anything else. What did the Lord say? Be not afraid, were His words to us. We need to take that to heart and become the Orthodox Christians that we can be and that He wants us to be. Amen.